If you take your beverage bottles back to redeem them for the nickel or dime, you probably get a bit of a collection going before Redemption Day. Resist the urge to refer to the many empty bottles and cans as a beer archive, because we have someone on the line who runs something that is very much in that realm. The state of Oregon maintains something called the Oregon Hops and Brewing Archives. It's connected to Oregon State University, and it is a rapidly growing collection of stuff detailing Oregon's long history with sudsy beverages. Tia Edmondson-Morton is the Oregon Hops and Brewing Archives director. She'll travel to Ashland for a session at the library Monday at 6, but we have her on the phone now. Hi, Tia.
Hi, good morning.
Hi, good to have you back on the Jefferson Exchange.
Thank you.
So the Oregon Hops and Brewing Archive is not very old, just 3 years. Tell us about the origin story.
Yeah, so it was 3 years ago in the summer, and it was a beautiful time in Oregon, beautiful time in the hop yards, and we sort of all got together and said, you know, this is a really amazing history, both just of our region, but also of the research that's happened at our university, and put together a proposal and said, how about if we form a sort of deliberate collecting initiative to gather things around the state at that time, just related to hops history and brewing history, sort of the post-prohibition craft brewing history. But since then, really based on a lot of researchers that I've talked to or journalists that I've worked with, we decided to expand a bit, both regionally, but also into barley and cider and mead, and then earlier as well into the pre-prohibition era.
Well, you know, I can understand the hops people wanting to talk about the archives for this, but then when they mentioned journalists, too, I figured they're not usually very far from a beer, Not surprising there, then. So, you know, a few beer fans might think you have some classic old sealed bottles in there, but this is a much more comprehensive collection already, it sounds like.
It is, yeah. And I think one thing that really surprised me when I started this archive was that people wanted to come look at it, and so I very quickly realized I had to have some sort of museum-y kind of pretty objects for people to look at. But yes, definitely, there's a very paper-based component to it as well. So we have lots and lots of photos. We have research reports. We have recipes. We have publications, an amazing collection of beer publications. So yeah, it's definitely, there's the ephemeral pretty side, but there's the real scholarly side as well.
So in that ephemeral pretty side, what kinds of things do you have for the public to look at and maybe do some oohing and aahing over?
I have a lot of coasters, coasters and posters and bottles. My office, I did have to cut down some of my own bottle collection in my office because I do work in a library, and it was a little bit ridiculous.
So you mean you had bottles all over the shelves? And
I was getting pretty close to that. So I took pictures of a lot of them and then gave them to a couple of home brewers who work in the library who would reuse them to bottle their own stuff.
So how Oregon-based do the artifacts have to be included in the Hops and Brewing Archives?
Well, we definitely focus and collect, intentionally collect things from Oregon, but there are certainly artifacts and items from around the world. So it's definitely the range, not necessarily an obsession just with Oregon. It's definitely, it's focused more on the industries rather than the region in that ephemeral sense.
You mentioned starting with a post-prohibition focus and then expanding that to pre-prohibition as well. And there is quite a rich history, apparently, of beer in Oregon. In fact, as I look at the dates, it looks like it starts before Oregon became a state.
Yeah. And I think it was really kind of akin to what we're seeing now, smaller neighborhood breweries that were serving their kind of immediate community. So you saw a smaller facilities. Of course, there were larger facilities as well. It's been booming in Portland for a very long time. But yeah, so throughout the state, for sure, wherever there were people.
And wherever there's people, there's beer, right?
Mm-hmm.
Tia Edmondson-Morton is our guest on the Jefferson Exchange, the director at the Oregon Hops and Brewing Archives. You can join us on the Jefferson Exchange as we talk about the history of brewing in Oregon and the kinds of things that end up in the archive. Join us on the exchange with questions or comments, 800-838-3760, by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. Maybe you've got some brewing history of your own you'd like to donate to the archives. We'd love to hear from you. 800-838-3760. 360 or jx@jeffnet.org. So you mentioned that Portland's been going strong with brewing for a long time. Is Portland something like the Milwaukee of the West or something?
Oh, I don't know. That's a good analogy. I hadn't heard that before. I think that it definitely has the highest per capita brewery, in a metropolitan area in the world. I think they still hold that title. Portland is just amazing for the sheer number of breweries, but just also for the creativity of the beer that people are making up there. In my mind, that critical mass definitely requires people to differentiate themselves. So they need to do something special if there are that many breweries. But I think that we also as consumers demand that kind of variety and things that are interesting, which is exciting.
So does Oregon have some natural advantages for brewers other than that people like beer here or have for a long time?
The natural benefits would be the ingredients, certainly. Hops don't grow successfully everywhere. You can certainly grow hops in a lot of places, but we were the top hop producer in the U.S. for a very, very long time. We're not anymore, but we're second behind Washington now. But everything grows here, and I think that's very special. It's a very unique community, and over time, you've really seen this wonderful partnership with brewers, hop growers, as well as barley producers and the scientists here at OSU. So I think it's a really wonderful community, a very supportive community here in our state.
Let's talk about the hops themselves, because this is obviously a really interesting subject and something that grows well in Oregon. And of course, as beer gets more and more popular with craft brewing and tastings and all that sort of thing, you get lots of people taking sips of thing and saying, oh, that's very hoppy. What really is a hop? Let's get right down to what it adds to the beer, too.
Yeah. So a hop is the flower. It's a beautiful little artichoke-looking thing on a vine that grows. They were just all harvested a couple of weeks ago, so you have a very, very short amount of time to harvest them when they are, for lack of a real scientific term, ripe. They're ready to be picked, so that means that the oils are at the right level. They're also dry enough, so they're mature enough. And then they're almost immediately dried because they are wet and heavy sort of by nature. And the all of the rest of the material, whether that's the stems or the leaves, that's not something that would go into your beer. You're just looking at the hops. So they dry them immediately, and you'll get hop pellets, you'll get pressed hops, hop oils can be made as well. So you, of course, could add just the oils. But, of course, right now what we hear a lot about this time of year is fresh hop beer, which you can't really do unless you can get fresh hops. So that's a pretty special thing here, too. So hops add flavoring, but it also adds a certain bitterness. It can add a preservative. So, yeah, and beers weren't always made with hops, certainly. So it's not a requirement of beer, but it's what we think of.
So do hops grow like annuals, or is this the kind of thing where like you have to set them up like a vineyard, they'll grow in a couple of years?
Yeah, so they're a long-lived perennial. Usually, as I understand it, they take around 5 years from the time that you plant the rootstock until you get a sort of mature crop. But they will start producing the first year that you put them in the ground. But yes, they live and live. And I get probably once a month or so, I get a call from someone or an email from someone saying, I found this hop growing in this field or on this barn in Lane County or out somewhere in Benton County. Can you tell me what it is? Can you tell me what kind it is? Which I say, no, I can't. But there are people who can. So they definitely live a long time.
So obviously people are going to come to you for all kinds of expertise about beer, brewing, cider, mead, all the things that are handled by the Oregon Hops and Brewing Archives. How'd you get the job? I mean, this is kind of a one-of-a-kind thing in the state of Oregon, isn't it?
Yeah. It's actually a sort of one-of-a-kind thing, period. We were the first ones to start documenting this kind of history. Since then, of course, there's been more attention and other schools are investigating programs or other museums are investigating collecting initiatives. But the way I got the job is I made it up. It was my idea, which really, I think, speaks to this university and this library that I had to write a proposal. So it wasn't that one day I said, hey, I'd like to be a beer archivist, and they said, okay. So I had to write a proposal and a budget and pitch it as something that we really should be doing, both kind of from a university history standpoint, but also a cultural standpoint. And they said yes. I think I got the job because I created it.
Wow. That's why we can call Tia Edmondson Morton, the Oregon Hops and Brewing Archives Director. She's our guest on The Exchange. She'll be talking at the Ashland Public Library 6 o'clock on Monday, October 3rd. You can join us right now on The Exchange with questions about Oregon beer and beer history, and mead and cider in there as well. 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. Maureen in Ashland dropped off a phone question, and it was to ask about a terroir of beer. If beer has the same sort of site-specific kind of flavor that you get from wine.
Oh, for sure. I think there's definitely a lot of work and sort of writing and chatter and thinking right now about how the same hop grown in different places tastes differently. So if you grow a Cascade hop in Corvallis, how might that differ from a Cascade hop that is grown in Northern California or grown in Bend or grown up in the Yakima Valley in Washington? So, yeah, for sure, you do get a different taste. How much that changes, up and down the Willamette Valley, I'm not sure whether something that was grown in Eugene would taste significantly different than something that was grown in Woodburn or Salem, for instance. But, yeah, I think you definitely, different weather and different microclimates will make the hop do different things. There definitely is a, from the hop standpoint, that certainly has an impact. And people who are making wild yeast beers, so not just adding yeast to their brew, but catching what's around, which, typically, as I understand it, will lead to the funkier kind of farmhousey sorts of ales. That definitely, yeast will give your beer a very, very different flavor. So, and those are certainly site-specific.
Well, this is primarily then still a historical sort of function to look into the history of these beverages in Oregon. But you are at Oregon State, which is the ag school, the land-grant school. How involved is OSU, perhaps outside the archive, involved in helping people grow the components or actually make beer?
Oh, incredibly involved. I think that's what's really exciting. I run this archive at this university, at this library, but it's really exciting to have access to researchers who will answer my questions or who I can refer people to. So I feel like once they get to one of us here at OSU, then they can get the answer that they need. So there's the academic side where they're doing beer chemistry, beer research, brewing itself, studying all aspects of fermentation and food science. There's a barley breeding program that's incredibly active in breeding new varieties, and as well as the USDA facility on campus that has been doing hops research here for a long time, and an aroma hops breeding program that is through OSU. And so all of those academic programs work together very closely. But there's also a continuing education component, and I think that's a wonderful way for people who are either brewers themselves or thinking about starting a commercial business to get involved. That's the Beer and Cider Sessions, I think, is what the program is called, through the Professional and Continuing Education Department.
So within that context, I can see why it was a fairly easy case to make for having an archive for all this stuff.
Yeah.
Well said. Let's take a call here from George in Yreka, California. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange with Tia Edmondson Morton from the Oregon Hops and Brewing Archives.
Wow. Well, fascinating stuff. It always has been. I was associated with River City Gold during the time when Ronald Reagan was governor, and it was one of the first of the microbreweries. And my reason for being concerned with it was the fact that I wanted the spent grains for my animals, because it's a completely untapped resource. Spent grains have already been
Partially digested or something?
they have been reduced in their fiber, mm-hmm. so they can actually be a wonderful feed for ruminants or for that any animal, both either wet or dried, and preferably dried. Their nutrients are tremendously in value.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think we've talked about this before, where the animals will make use of the spent grain products that are part of the beer making process.
Yeah, there's a wonderful graphic that Ninkasi Brewing in Eugene has that is the whole process. And so you see the brewing process going to the spent grains, going to the cows, and then the cows going back to the restaurant, which they're happy cows and then they're not. I think that's something that is exciting too about the culture of brewing is that the brewers themselves, many of them are thinking about this kind of life cycle, I guess, of their ingredients, that it's not just where it's coming from, but it's what you do with it too. And it would be incredibly wasteful to just, I don't know, throw it all away, put it all in the dump. I think that's a very cool aspect of this as well, is that they are thinking about how to connect with farmers or cattlemen to use that byproduct in a good way.
Mm-hmm. Reuse of the stuff involved, some sustainability mm-hmm. involved there. Let's go to Mike in Medford. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange with Tia Edmondson-Morton.
First off, I have to say, I wish I was at least 10 years younger so I could go to college at OSU now. But, bit of a question for you. Do you have a preferred / the correct method for storing Imperial Stouts, since I know they're pretty much the only beer that does actually age and actually not go bad? And I'll take my comments off the air.
Aging Imperial Stouts. Okay, interesting question. Thanks for that, Mike, and thanks to George previously.
Yeah, I wish I had a good answer for that interesting question. So I don't actually store beer. I do have a few bottles of beer, but they are much more from the saved for the artifactual value than the drinking later value.
Uh-huh.
But they're definitely, I would recommend visiting like a bottle shop or a homebrew store. We have one in Corvallis, Corvallis Homebrew Supply Store, that has a bottle shop attached to it. And I know they can talk a lot about how to properly store things. Because, yes, there definitely is the proper way to age things, so when you open it up 10 years from now, it's not skunky. I think that's, I would recommend talking to someone who runs a bottle shop, starting there.
Tia, once you opened up the Hops and Brewing Archives, I wonder how much momentum got built up. I can imagine you got a few interested people who turned over artifacts, and, I mean, has that turned into an avalanche of donations?
I don't know if I would say avalanche. I think that the avalanche feels more like the questions.
Mm-hmm.
I think that was, again, something that, archivists do reference, that, we answer questions, but I think the sheer number of questions that I got that were really all over the place, that this is, even the two callers are very representative of the variety of questions.
Sure.
That I get. We did get a really large collection, a very important collection, last winter, that we spent a lot of time going through and preparing for researchers to use it. And that was the papers of Fred Eckhart, who was a beer historian and a journalist and just an amazingly wonderful mentor for people in the brewing and home brewing and sort of beer culture and food arenas. And his collection was extensive and has been used a lot already. So I would say that, I'm regularly getting things. People send me things in the mail, and it will be a few coasters. I think that it kind of comes in fits and starts. but definitely the challenge, too, is that we love to collect things as archivists. That's kind of,
sure,
why we do it. But we have to be able to provide access to those things. So while I continue to do tons of outreach and talk to people and answer lots of questions, right now I am focused on making sure that I have the stuff that I already have under control so that I can answer questions, because I don't want things to just sit in boxes that no one knows about.
Sure, gathering dust.
Mm-hmm.
So if people miss some of the outreach stuff, like this session Monday at 6 at the Ashland Library, where do they go to find the archives? What can they see?
Yeah, so physically, all the materials are here at the OSU Libraries in Corvallis, right in the center of campus. But if they want to find out more online, it's really, really easy. If you enter Oregon Hops and Brewing Archives into your favorite search engine, I can pretty much guarantee will pop up at the top. But I did a search the other day just for OHBA, or OBA as we call it, and we were, I think, right below like a home building association.
Oregon Home Builders Association, of course, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And we're going to knock them out of the top spot.
There's also a direct link from our website at jeffexchange.org.
Yeah, yeah. So there's lots of information about the collections we already have, physical collections. I do a lot of oral histories, which is something I'm really proud of and love to build on those collections, gathering stories from people. So you can see a list of all the people I've done oral histories with and then have links to those oral histories from our site, too.
I saw your interview with the Widmer brothers and with Terry Farrendorf on the video online. She's an interesting person and interesting signature attire that she has.
Yeah, she loves her pink boots. Yes. So Terry Farrendorf started the Pink Boot Society, which is an organization that supports women in brewing. So it's not just women brewers, but women who make their careers from brewing. So we did an interview with her, I think, 2 years ago. And then I did an interview with Emily Engdahl, who's the executive director now of the Pink Boot Society, maybe a couple of months ago. So yes, it's a wonderful organization that supports women in brewing. But yes, she has pink boots.
All right. Well, rubber boots apparently are obligatory attire for working in the brew house.
Yes.
Any idea whether you're going to need your own space before long, whether you'll get too big for the Oregon State University Library?
I don't think so. I think that I am still small among our collecting areas. But space is always an issue, whether that's physical space. We have an ever-growing campus, and we have ever-growing collections here. Electronic space is certainly a concern, too.
No doubt. Okay, lots of stuff going on as the Oregon Hops and Brewing Archives builds its collection. Tia Edmondson-Morton is the director. She'll be in Ashland for a session at the library Monday at 6. Tia, good to talk to you again.
Yeah, good to talk to you. Thank you.
All right, take it easy.